What's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." Now, we're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. Today, we're going to talk about Rich Men North of Richmond. I have the lyrics to this song. We're going to talk about a few principles from Scripture. We're going to talk about something that's pretty personal that I've heard folks kind of pearl clutch and say that this song is very bad. Actually, two things. And that'll be a wrap. And I hope maybe some of you share your thoughts. What's going on, Diana Harden and John Exum? Good to see you. Incidentally, if you're not watching on Christianity Now streams, I would love to invite you to do that. That's our YouTube channel, Christianity Now streams. We would love to build our audience on that and make sure that we can have plenty of engagement and such like. Sorry, I'm kind of making some adjustments. I am making some adjustments as I go, trying to get some things dialed in. I'm constantly trying to get what I need to do. This thing really stresses me out, all of this sound and everything like that, which leads us into, if you are going through some difficult situations in life, you can discover tranquility and peace in life's turmoil with Be a Mindful Soul. Whether seeking a compassionate ear or expert guidance, you can find support, the support you need, at www.beamindfulsoul.com. You can navigate therapeutic solutions, mental health services, and more. Your journey to tranquility begins with beamindfulsoul.com. Be sure and go over there and check out all the services that LaBeth has to offer. Folks, good to see you. Incidentally, I see someone commenting, "Good morning, Tony." Good morning to you. But it just says Facebook user, so I don't know who you are. You're probably on my personal profile or in the We Talk Truth group. Let's dive right into this. So first off, what is the lyrics, or what are the lyrics to Rich Men North of Richmond? I guess first we're going to start talking about, and good morning, Amanda Pratt. Good to see you. I guess first, let's talk about the nuance, because if you're not from the United States, you don't know what rich men north of Richmond means. This is an idiomatic way of saying the government, okay? Our government in the United States of America is the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C. Washington, the District of Columbia. It's in Virginia. It's kind of like a city state. Good to see you, Mike Osness. And the person that said good morning is Mike. So good to see you, Mike Osness. I hope your feet's doing better, or your foot. Feet or foot? I can't remember. I just remember you are doing some recovery. Anyway, so Richmond is in Virginia. And when you go north of Richmond, you hit our nation's capital. And that's where all the laws are made. That's where all the politicians hang out. And Wayne Voigt, good to see you from Pulaski, Tennessee. Man, I've spent a lot of time in Pulaski. I've got a really good friend that lives in Pulaski. He's a gospel preacher there, Brandon Greaves. I love him and his sweet family. And I love the church there, both congregations that I'm familiar with, which is Fairview and East Hill. I have preached at both of those congregations, and I really love them, and the eldership at Fairview, I really admire, and there's some reasons for that, but I love watching good elderships do the right thing, and I witnessed that eldership do the right thing. So anyway, back to the podcast. And hey, Alabama, well, you're just a hop, skip, and a jump from Pulaski. Well, that's pretty cool. So you must be in northern Alabama. Awesome. All right. Richmond, north of Virginia. Rich men, north of Richmond. All right. So this is a country song. It has taken the nation by storm. here are, I'm gonna read the lyrics and we're gonna talk about them as I read them, because this has kind of come under some scrutiny. It's number one on the iTunes charts right now. I think it's going to be number one on the Billboard. This is amazing. And this dude is nothing. Like he's just a guy out in the woods in Appalachia, and he's a kind of a prepper, I think. Anyway, let's just look at the lyrics. All right. I've been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for BS pay. And the word there is, it means excrement that comes from a bovine of the male persuasion. It's an expletive. It's a quote unquote cuss word. All right. So overtime hours for pay that is terrible is what he means. And the reason he does that is so he can sit out here and waste his life away, drag back home, meaning drag back home from work and drown my troubles away. And that phrase, drown my troubles away, is idiomatic for drinking to cope with the hardships of life, okay? And a lot of people do that. I remember my dad telling me whenever in the 60s, the migration from the South to the North to the auto factories and stuff in Detroit, that you had a lot of country boys that were trapped in the city because that's where the good jobs were. And they had what's called liquid lunches. In fact, at the time, they had vending machines like Coca-Cola machines that you could put in money. And instead of getting a Coca-Cola kicked out or a soft drink kicked out, they'd actually kick out a beer. And they would drown their troubles away. That's the only way they could cope. They turned to drugs. They turned to alcohol. They turned to promiscuity. And if you look at how the nation is going and how a nation that is run by wicked and corrupt politicians, this is not, now everybody knows, I make no bones about it. I am politically conservative, which means my values align much more with the Republicans, but the Republicans and the Democrats both at the national level, once you get to north of Richmond, once you get to Washington, D.C., they vote for their own self-interest. They are all wicked. They are all terrible. There's just one that there's a clear line of demarcation between good and evil. One is telling you they want to kill your children or castrate your children or perform double mastectomies on your young girls. And the others are saying, we don't want to do that. So I know where my vote's going to lie. But when it comes to just the state of the nation, we are a bird and it takes two wings to fly, and both of those wings have led us into very perilous times, okay? So this very first stanza just, I mean, it hits hard. I'm selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours for terrible pay, I'm going to say. So I can sit out here and waste my life away, drag back home and drown my troubles away. He's talking about the monotony of existence. And I put forth to you that this is the biblical equivalent, or this is the lyrical equivalent, rather, to the biblical statement, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Go read the book of Ecclesiastes. And incidentally, when you look at the book of Ecclesiastes, you see Solomon, who basically says the same thing. He even talks about, if I work hard and I build up this kingdom because I'm very, very wise, I'm just going to leave it to a fool and he's going to destroy it. So what do we do? And Solomon dove off into what is known as nihilism. Look up nihilism. All right. It's hopelessness. This first verse screams hopelessness. Okay. Now, I'm going to read the word, but understand that this word is usually a choice expletive. It's a damn shame what the world's gotten to for people like me and people like you. Wish I could just wake up and it not be true, but it is. Oh, it is. So that next line is, again, it's a tipped hat to wanting something better and something more than what you have now. this person that wrote this is seeking meaning. And it's and the song is sung from the perspective of a person that is wanting meaning. Hello, Debbie Mangus. Good to see you. Good morning. Incidentally, if you haven't shared this, if you haven't shared this yet, please share it and like it and give us some comments. Now, here's the hook. Here's the chorus. Living in the new world with an old soul, these rich men north of Richmond, Lord knows they all just want to have total control. Want to know what you think, want to know what you do, and they don't think you know, but I know that you do. Because your dollar ain't nothing, I'm going to say. Your dollar ain't, S-H-I-T is the word. And it's taxed to no end because of rich men north of Richmond. Now, I'm gonna go to the Bible here and check this out. I'm going to start reading in Ezekiel 34. I need some better light here. All right. And the word of the Lord coming to me saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Now the shepherds of Israel, those were the people that were in charge. This is the government, okay? Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Folks, understand what I'm about to start talking about in no way means that I believe that the United States of America is an analog for Israel. However, there are some similarities. Now, the United States of America is not God's chosen people. I'm going to repeat that. The United States of America is not God's chosen people. If the United States of America crumbles, God's people will still be in the world. The United States of America is not God's chosen people. You would think that I shouldn't have to repeat that so many times, but it is true. The United States of America is not God's chosen people. I believe that God played a role in the founding of the United States, and God uses the United States and has used the United States as he sees fit. And once it is no longer useful, or once it gets so totally wicked that their sins are full, then God's going to discard them and he's going to allow something else to rise in its place. So United States of America is not an analog to Israel. But what can we learn from the state of things in Israel, in God's people, in the Old Testament that we can apply today? When the government gets so absolutely corrupt and wicked that they deal unjustly with the masses, there is no stability in the nation, and anybody can come along and wipe them out, okay? Tony Calderon, good to see you. Glad you're here. All right. Now, here we go. Woe unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Well, the answer is yes. But if you go to those rich men and women north of Richmond, our politicians in the United States, look at how they invest in stocks. Look at how they invest in companies. These politicians, who are largely ignorant about things, have a better track record for investment than Warren Buffett, who is a professional money manager that plays the market. Like, he's the expert of experts. And Nancy Pelosi and her ilk have a better track record of investing than he does. In fact, if you go to Reddit, you can find a subreddit that follows Nancy Pelosi's investment. And if you want a good return on your investment, as a rule of thumb, you just invest in what Nancy Pelosi invests in. So these people are feeding themselves to the hurt of the masses of the American people, just like the people in charge of Israel were feeding themselves to the hurt of the masses, all right? Listen, you eat the fat and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. Do you think he's talking about sheep here? He's talking about people, okay? He's talking about people. These people that were in charge of the children of Israel were unjust, and they were milking the people for all that they were worth, and they were not taking care of them in return. All right. The diseased you have not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. Listen, I don't want to open up any wounds, but do you not remember the last 3 years with COVID? And you look at how the elites, they went and they did everything and anything they wanted to do. If their loved one died, they went to the funeral. If they wanted to have a protest or a party, they just got together. No social distancing, no mask. But if you wanted to go to visit your loved one in the hospital, you had to jump through 9 kinds of hoops if you even got to go see them. There's videos. I'm so thankful for the internet, because the internet never forgets. There are videos under the hashtag, I think, like, remember when they did this or something to that effect. And you can find videos of, like, there's a video going around of a funeral where this poor woman, and if I focus on this too much, I'll cry, y'all. There's a video of this woman. Her husband's body is laying in that casket. And she is sitting in a folding chair 6 feet from everybody that loves her. And she bends down and she starts weeping. And her son picks up his chair and moves it beside her and puts an arm around his mama. And then other people fall suit. And the funeral director comes out and tries to make them break that up. As a Christian, I would punch that man in the face if he didn't leave me alone. And I would stand before my maker and I would say that what I did was virtuous, because I was protecting the weak, the downtrodden, and the victimized. Don't ever forget what these people have done to us. And now they're trying to gaslight. And they're trying to say, you need to just live and let live. Let it go. We had this great big power grab. We hurt you. We harmed you. And if you feel bad about it, it's because you're a bad person. All right. That got a little emotional and personal for me. Let me get back to the Bible. The diseased you have not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty you have ruled them, and they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains. I'm going to stop there. The United States of America, well, Israel had no guidance. Israel had no ballast, no lodestone to keep her upright and to keep her going towards where she was supposed to go. Folks, these rich men north of Richmond, they have done that. These rich men north of Richmond, they just want to have total control. They want to know what you think. They want to know what you do. And they are so arrogant that they don't think you know. But I love this. I love this line. But I know that you do. One of the most beautiful things that you can do for somebody is be there with them. That is calm passion. That's passion together. Are you hurting? Are you downtrodden? I'm with you. There is no test or temptation overtaking you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful. He's made a way of escape. I know what you're going through logically, okay? And don't if somebody's hurting and grieving a loss of a loved one, don't say it like that. I know what you're going through. No, you don't. you can say, I can only imagine what you're going through, but how can you imagine what they're going through? Because you're a human and I'm a human. We share similar experiences. There is no temptation overtaking you, but such as is common to man. You've lost a loved one. I've lost a loved one. I can put myself in your shoes, and I'm here for you. I know you. I see you. And that's what this, I think that's one of the reasons why this song is so powerful and so popular, is because our culture is realizing now what's going on. Our culture is finally waking up. The masses are starting to wake up. Look at the Bud Light boycott. Look at the Target boycott. Target has lost money for the first time in decades. Bud Light had to sell off several of their brands. Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch had to sell off several of their brands, and Bud Light, their main brand, is a joke. It's a cultural joke. The masses are starting to wake up. However, the weapon of the rich man north of Richmond is to make you feel alone. That's the same weapon Satan uses, folks. That's the same weapon Satan uses. The weapon of God, the defense of God, is you're not alone. There is a commonality experienced by all human beings. Everybody could see what was going on during these years of oppression. And now we're banding together. Anyway, I love it, but I know that you do. So I'm pointing out these things, and I know that I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I think that's probably the reason why this song has gone viral. Deborah O'Neill says, I told someone earlier that we have far more men who are women than they let on. Men aren't standing up anymore and doing what's right. No, they're not. All right. Here's another line. I wish politicians would look out for minors and not just minors on an island somewhere. Now listen, I love this line. This line, if you're not familiar with the politics of the United States, and many of my listeners are probably not, the minors that he wishes politicians would look out for are the people that go down into the mines and mine coal. It is terrible, the conditions that they have lived in, and terrible the financial hardships that they have faced. And politicians need to make policy that helps those people. But what politicians do is they like getting on the Lolita Express and flying out to Pedophile Island and having sex with underage people, underage girls and boys. Now, you might think, Tony, that's so crazy. You're just making that up. There can't be an airplane named the Lolita Express. There can't be an island called Pedophile Island. That's stupid. There can't be a flight log with the names of all the politicians and stars and aristocrats that have flown to this island to partake in those parties. Yes. Like, just think about the normalcy with which I said this. Our politicians, interestingly enough, all of the politicians that the mainstream media want you to hate, for instance, Donald Trump, he never flew on the Lolita Express. He never went to Pedophile Island. In fact, whenever Donald Trump figured out who and what Jeffrey Epstein was, he barred him from Mar-a-Lago. He barred him from Mar-a-Lago. Bill Clinton, however, was really good friends with Jeffrey Epstein, and he traveled back and forth there a lot. And there's a painting of Bill Clinton in a blue dress and high heels that was recovered on Pedophile Island. Why would you book a flight on the Lolita Express and travel to Pedophile Island? Anybody in the chat want to enlighten me? I'm curious. Something to think about. So maybe if politicians did their job and created policy that helped the masses, instead of trying to use their positions of privilege and their influence to go have sex with children, maybe the country wouldn't be in such a bad state. And in this situation, I'm only talking about one side of the aisle. Folks, I'm talking about the Democrats. Now, here's the line, buddy. And you might think, well, Tony, you're fat. I am fat. I need to lose about 120 pounds. I have no problem with this line, though. For one, I'm not on welfare. I didn't get fat while I was on welfare. I got fat working. Anyway. Well, excuse me. Lord, we got folks in the street. Ain't got nothing to eat. And obese. The obese milking welfare. Folks, I have no judgment against you if you're on welfare. In the United States of America, it's called SNAP. Supplemental Nutritional Assistance. Well, maybe it's in the state of Tennessee. It's called the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. My wife was a caseworker for like 7 years for the Department of Human Services in Tennessee. I'm sure in other states it's called other things. Colloquially, it's called food stamps. Now, it hasn't been quote-unquote food stamps for a long time. Usually, you get a card that your benefits electronically is put on that card every month, and you use that card like a debit card at your grocery stores. And what I see is these gas stations that, I mean, and granted, they're just trying to make money, and they sell pizzas. Now, you can purchase for cash cooked pizzas. Well, God bless you if you want to do that. That's good. However, this same company will put together your pizza and wrap it in cellophane, and they'll sell it through another SKU number, stock keeping unit, the SKU. They'll sell it through another way, and you can use your food stamps to purchase the pizza from Hunt Brothers Pizza and other places like that. And that's a way to get around the system. At Christmas time, you have these tins of popcorn and candies and stuff like that. And they're in the gift aisle, but they're rung up under the grocery SKUs so you can use your food stamps to buy them. Listen, if you need welfare, I'm thinking you need it. There was a preacher on Digital Bible Study a few years ago that talked about being on welfare. It was the most quiet lesson I can remember. He hit the nail on the head hard. Yes, because you know what the Bible says about people who don't work? Neither should they eat. I have zero respect for folks that are on welfare that are just gaming the system. And let me tell you, I don't think it's a punch ticket to hell if you're a tobacco user. But if you use tobacco and you're on welfare, go kick rocks. You're stealing. You see, money is fungible. So if you're getting $300 or $400 a month for groceries and you're also using tobacco, you might as well say my tax dollars is going to purchase your tobacco. Yeah, cigarettes. And I will say this is not what the podcast is about, but I'll tell this. I do believe that cigarette smoking and cigars and pipes and other forms of tobacco is that those two things are in different ontological categories. I do believe that cigarettes are totally different than smoking a cigar. We can have a conversation about that later if you want to, but yeah. So anyway, if you're on welfare and you're a tobacco user, man, go kick rocks. You're the worst. Like you don't even, you're stealing from somebody that could actually use it. Anyway, that's all I got to say about that. Yeah, and here's the line that got people riled up. Well, God, if you're 5'3" and you're 300 pounds, taxes ought not to pay for your bags of fudge rounds. I saw an article several years ago about people on welfare and people that live off the state. Hey, look, if you want to live on welfare, if you want to live off the state and you don't want to work, I say we ought to build, the state ought to build these huge apartment complexes, and they ought to have single, married, so you have you have married apartments, you have single people apartments, and you have women apartments, like men and women apartments separate. And you, the showers are communal. You get your electricity, you get your heat, your air, you get a bed, and you don't get any cable. You only get certain kind of food that you buy from an on-site store that the government functions, and it's a meal plan food. It's only the staples. We're talking beans, rice, a little bit of meat. In other words, it's rough. And it really describes a prison or army barracks. And if you don't want to work, that's where you live. If you're able to work, then you get better. I have no problem. If you're 5'3" and 300 pounds and you're getting food stamps, and then you're not hungry. Good evening, brother. This awesome lesson needs to be taught always. I feel great as God. I'm with someone who uses cigarettes here. Yeah, cigarettes are rough. I think cigarettes are probably inherently sinful because of all the stuff that goes in them. They're nothing but poison. But anyway, that being said, back to the 5'3" and 300 pounds. I can't remember what movie that I saw. No, it was on The Walking Dead, and one of the characters was talking to this tyrant, and she said, "You don't understand, we're starving here." And this woman probably had about an extra 60 pounds, and the tyrant just looked at her and said, "What? You're starving here? Honey, you're not starving. Not you. You must be getting a bigger ration than everybody else." And of course, that was the way that the writers used to make him look like a monster. But it's true. Let me tell you something. I think that if you have a BMI above a certain amount, your food stamps ought to be reduced. That's just all there is to it. Because you obviously aren't hungry. You obviously have a surplus. And I understand, I'm fat. Before anybody says anything, "Well, Tony, you're fat." Yep, I sure am. What of it? I mean, can a fat man not preach about sin? I used to get that all the time when I would preach about alcohol. And church attendance, incidentally. One time I preached a sermon about church attendance, and after I was done, some old woman said, "Well, you didn't say much about gluttony." My response was, "Do you think I'm a glutton?" And she just, her eyes got like saucers. She wasn't used to being talked like that. I said, "I don't think you know what a glutton is, sister, for one. But for two, let's say that I was a glutton. What did I say that was wrong about church attendance?" And it prompted me to write an article, "Can a Fat Man Preach Against Sin?" That's it. There's so much evil going on in this country. Most just close their eyes to it. You got that right. So I have no problem with this line. If you're 5'3" and 300 pounds, taxes ought not to pay for your bags of fudge rounds. I don't know what the solution is. I would say that the solution is probably if your body mass index is above a certain number, you don't get food stamps, or your food stamps gets reduced. I have no problem with that, because what does 1 Thessalonians, it's 2 Thessalonians. Hold on a second. Now I'm crazy. If a man doesn't work, King James. All right. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. "For even when we were with you, we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat. And they should be drug tested too." That's right. I can't get a job without being drug tested. You shouldn't be able to get benefits from my tax money without being drug tested. And that's just all there is to it. You know what? I really messed up and I stopped my... Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to download the recording. Anyway. So back to the lyrics. So we've got that taken care of. All right. Young men are putting themselves 6 feet in the ground because all this, and he says damn, because all this damn country does is keep on kicking them down. And now he's telling the truth, and this is from frustration. This is why he says the word damn. And incidentally, right now this country is damned. I think that's an adequate use of the term, don't you? Look at the suicide rate for men. People talk about equality. People talk about the gender pay gap. People talk about all this. But there's a reason men are ending themselves. We need to talk about that. The problem is, the rich men north of Richmond, they're only interested in fleecing the flock. They're not interested in helping anybody. And we're going to keep on going. Lord, it's a shame what this world got into for people like me, people like you. I wish I could just wake up and it not be true. But oh, but it is. Oh, it is. You can be fat because you can't afford fresh fruits and vegetables or they are not available. Hogwash. Rita, I love you, but that's just naive. Fat is calories in, calories out. Calories in, calories out. If you are fat, you are eating more calories than you are burning. Anybody that tells you different is trying to sell you some kind of pill or some kind of diet supplement. If you don't have the money to buy food, you're not eating enough calories, you're going to be skinny. If you have a surplus of money to buy a surplus of food and you eat more calories than you burn, you're going to be fat. Do you know what I looked like when I was working with my body? I weighed 300 pounds, but I had about an 11 to 15% body fat. I wore a size 34 in the pants. I was trim. I was fit. I was eating less calories than I was burning. It doesn't, and to an extent, it doesn't matter what you eat. That's the point. Before you get money from the government to feed yourself, well, anyway, I'm going to. The AMA tells you that the junk is good for you and people believe it. Yeah, but here's the thing. Even if you didn't live, even if you only ate what the American Medical Association said is a good, healthy, balanced diet, if your body needs 3,000 calories a day, and you eat 3,500 calories per day, you are going to gain roughly a pound a week. If you need 3,000 calories a day and you only eat 2,500 calories a day, you are going to lose about a pound a week. It doesn't matter what you're eating. That's the point. That's the point. I choose to spend my money on better foods and leave the junk on the shelf. I don't need the junk. Problem is, the AMA tells you that the junk... Oh, well, Deborah, I read half of your message. Hold on, right here. The food that is less costly is high in fat, calories, etc. Being on a limited income, you have to make choices. Yeah, so you need to avail yourself of the studies and the documentaries and stuff that are out there. There's a documentary of a man that spent 30 days eating McDonald's, three meals a day, and he lost weight, and his cholesterol and his blood pressure and everything were better at the end. All right. So listen, that is a mindset that these rich men north of Richmond, well, it's not your fault. You're 5'3" and 300 pounds. Well, bless your heart. You're just too stupid to be healthy on the money that you make. So we're from the government and we're going to take care of you. Yeah. Ronald Reagan had it right. That's the scariest word that's ever been told. I got a fly buzzing around here. Get up, fly. Anyway. Yeah, they have no clue what nutrition is. That's why no one is getting better eating their diet. Absolutely. Yeah, the food pyramid is actually turned upside down. You need more fat. And that's another thing. Fat, you need to watch out for your macros. And I know I'm fat. I understand. But I've also achieved homeostasis. I'm not gaining weight. I'm not losing weight. I've learned how to maintain. And although I'm carrying around a big, more weight than I need, about 100 pounds, 120, my frame is so big and my muscle mass is so big, it doesn't harm me like it would other people. I think most people would be very surprised to see me in person and know how much I weigh. I mean, they know I'm a big guy, but anyway, that I'm done with that. But my point is, I have lost 100 pounds before. The way I lost the 100 pounds was eating fat, protein, and very little carbs. The direct opposite of what the government tells you to eat. And then I hear people in the medical industry that haven't been woken up and still believe the studies that are paid for by people who have a vested interest in keeping us unhealthy. They say, well, Tony, your cholesterol's got to be terrible if you're eating like that. I'm like, go kick rocks. It is proven that if you eat a diet high in fat, high in protein, low in carbs, you're going to have better heart health, your better circulation, your diabetes will be abated, and your overall numbers and everything will be better, and you'll have a better BMI. That's just all there is to it. Now, up here in Canada, we live on carbohydrates. It's not good. It's bad for me personally, but anyway, we live by it. Yeah, it sounds like a proper human diet. We need to learn to eat species-specific. Cholesterol means nothing. Yeah. Anyway, so let's get back to the song here. I wish I could wake up and it not be true, but it is. Oh, it is. So we have to deal with these things. We have to deal with the reality, but the line, I wish I could wake up and it not be true. If we can get through this world, if we can live in this world and we can handle our business and be who we're supposed to be and live for a higher purpose than ourselves, we will wake up and it not be true. For Christians, we have a way out. That's why Christians don't dive off into nihilism. That's why Christians don't become hopeless. All right. Live in a new world with an old soul, the rich man north of Richmond. Lord knows they all just want to have total control. Want to know what you think, want to know what you do, and they don't think you know, but I know that you do, because your dollar ain't nothing, and it's taxed to no end, because a rich man north of Richmond, I've been selling my soul, working all day, overtime hours, for BS pay. Folks, it's a good song. It just is. I have no problem with the cuss words in it. In fact, when you read Philippians chapter 3, Paul uses a word that's in the King James translated dung. It was the cultural equivalent of our word shit. It was an expletive, and Paul used it to punch. Just something to think about. Anyway, my suggestion, go to iTunes, spend a dollar on this song. Let's make this go. And, you know, as Christians, we need to be getting out here and affecting the culture. Christians needs to be heavily involved in politics. Another way of saying politics is society. the word polis is just comes from the word pole. It's the city, politics. It's the running of society. If Christians aren't involved in politics, if Christians are supposed to leave politics alone, then we need to actually leave politics alone, and we need to be like the Amish. We need to go out and into a field and find a commune and live like that and not affect the real world. But folks, that's not what God wants of us. I think that one of the reasons why our society has gone the way it has gone is because we have divorced the pulpit and politics. The Bible, the New Testament, deals with politics. How do you live in this world? And how does the world need to conduct itself? That's it. That's politics, folks. I don't understand. Now, it is possible that 50 years ago, talking about which candidate you're going to vote for was a little verboten, because the discussion was, how do we achieve this goal that is a goal for both parties? In other words, I've got two candidates, and their goal is common between the two of them. The debate is how to achieve the goal. Now, the two parties in the United States have opposite goals. So the debate isn't anymore, hey, which candidate has the best way to achieve our goal, our common goal? It's which goal do we want to strive towards? And at least for now, the right side of the political aisle, the Republicans, they want a conservative government, a smaller government, and they want to protect our children, and they want to protect our rights to assembly, our rights to freedom of speech, our rights to worship the way we want to worship. The Democrats, if you vote for them, you are voting to kill children, to castrate young boys, to perform double mastectomies on young girls, to rip children from their parents' homes, and to you're voting to against your right to worship the way you want to worship. So it's different now, and therefore the conversation needs to change. Anyway, that's all I've got. Too many Christians think they need to obey the government at the expense of being a Christian. That's it. Folks, we need to obey God over man. We ought to obey God rather than man. We need to be able to call out these things when they arise. And the sad thing is, at least in the past, when somebody in the Lord's church has decided to call out these things when they arise, they get beat down by the brethren. On a live stream one time, me and Aaron Dotson was talking about the political platform and the talking points and what the Democrats were promising to do, and we were accused of being Trumpian. Well, you're just a bunch of Trump supporters. You can imagine my response. My response was, well, you're a bigot, and you're uninformed, and you're ignorant, and you need to apologize for the sin of bigotry, because we have not said one word about Donald Trump. We are just telling you this is what they're saying out loud. They're promising you, if you vote for us, we're going to kill your children, we're going to castrate your young boys, we're going to do double mastectomies on your young girls, we are going to normalize pedophilia, and we're going to groom your children so they're hypersexualized and they're having sex at an earlier age. We're going to move the age of consent down past 18. They're telling you all of it. Yet, to say that, we were shouted down. Just go listen to what they're telling you. So anyway, I appreciate Jason O'Brien. I appreciate your candor there, but yeah, I'm not sure. Again, I want to use the strong language that you do, but I also don't want to, burn bridges with people. I want to have a chance to convert and change their mind. But yeah, it's getting to the point where remove Republican and Democrat and just look at what they're promising to accomplish. And as a Christian, what can you do? I will say this. If you only vote Christian values, if you only vote Christian values, you will never vote Democrat again, as long as the Democratic Party is promising to do the things that they're promising to do. But anyway, so anyway, that's all I've got. Folks, we've been going at this for 51 minutes. I really appreciate all your kind attention. If you would, subscribe to Christianity Now Streams and help us reach 500 subscribers. I appreciate that, Deborah, a lot. Proud of you and the stands you take, Tony. Thanks for this podcast. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of it. What in the world have I got? Oh, I was looking in the background. That's my iPad over there. It's not normally sitting there. I just have it over there to charge. Anyway, I'm sure that there's some things that can be taken out of context and twisted to where it makes me sound really, really bad. Here's the thing. Several years ago, I made a vow that I'm going to speak the truth, and I do not care if I look like a monster. I do not care if somebody pearl clutches, takes what I say out of context, and frames me to make me look like a monster. I don't care if I'm ostracized. I don't care if I'm kicked out of polite society. I'm going to speak the truth, regardless of the damage to me, quite frankly, or the people around me, which because of that, I don't have a lot of people around me, admittingly. I've got just a few very close people in my circle, and that's it. Because I don't ever cull what I say. I'm going to say it. Jason O'Brien says, my church thinks I'm a rebel. Yeah, I can imagine. And Preston Silcox, man, thank you. I hope you do listen later. All right, listen, that's all I've got. God bless every one of you. Thank you. Remember, share the content. Subscribe to Christianity Now Streams. We want to get 500 subscribers. We have access to doing a little bit more stuff at 500 subscribers. And that's all I've got. Thank you very much, Facebook user. Excellent thoughts. I appreciate all you're doing. Thank you, Amanda Pratt. All right. God bless. I'm going to say it again. God bless every one of you. This has been Tony Brew with Cogitations. And be sure and subscribe to the podcast, but subscribe to the Christianity Now streams. Share the content. And again, we'll catch you on the flip side.